You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. You can ask questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, tax, technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
Good evening, everyone. Well, I'm not Kevin Rutherford, as you can probably tell. I'm Rico Muhammad, filling in for Kevin Rutherford tonight on the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'd like to welcome everybody aboard. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to come and discuss and chop it up with us a little bit about rates and lanes. Tonight on the podcast, we're going to have a little bit of help from Chad Bobbitt. He's going to be coming on, and we're going to be discussing quoting ugly loads. Before we get to Chad, I want to take just a few minutes to discuss the DAT National Trendlines newsletter that they send out every Wednesday, and we're also going to talk about the produce report real briefly here in the beginning. So we're going to jump right into it. And unfortunately for dry vans this week, DAT is showing a decline in rates. It dropped 2 cents for the week. The national average for dry vans slipped to $2.06 per mile, dropping another 2 cents, which is a 1% change from last week. Country that you're in, you may actually felt this drop in the rate. In other parts, you may not have noticed much of a drop. If you stay inside of the hot lanes, which is some of the things that we recommend, if you stay in the hot cities, hot markets, you should not see much of a difference in your rate if you're staying in a high demand area. But that's the synopsis for dry vans. Now, this week for flatbeds, flatbeds was up to $2.35 per mile. Flatbeds rate increased by 1 cent, which is a 0.4% hike over last week. $2.35 per mile remaining near peak levels at capacity remains really tight on the flatbed market despite recent declines in national load-to-truck ratios. Once again, flatbeds are booming right now. They're in season. They also are tapping into some of the produce market because some produce can ship on flatbeds. Flatbeds. So you're starting to see where if you're taking advantage of the information that we're putting out and if you're staying in hot markets, you're putting your truck in the right position, then you should be seeing some increased revenue on your flatbed capacity. And now to the segment that is near and dear to my heart, the reefer segment. This week, reefer's rates went up 3 cents. The national average of reefers added 3 cents, which is an increase of 1.3% over last week, to $2.28 per mile, by slightly lower load volume. Like I said, if you stay in, one of the things that I really, really want everybody to get on top of is to really learn the markets. If you learn the markets and you know where the supply and demand are inside of the market, then you really won't see much of a decrease in your revenue. Actually, you should always kind of be on an even keel, and most of the times on most weeks, you should actually see increases. That's one of the things that I try to strive for. I try to strive for staying inside of the hot market, but at the same time, my operation is a little bit different from other people. So if you got questions about any of this stuff, we'll hit number one on your dial in, and we'll try to get to your calls here in just a little bit. Now, switching over real quickly, going over to the produce market. Right now, there are still slight shortages throughout the country for different types of produce, but the main markets that are hurting for truck capacity is still Central and South Florida. You still have melons and potatoes coming out of Central and South Florida, so there is a capacity low in those areas. Eastern North Carolina. You got sweet potatoes moving out of Eastern North Carolina, which is happens to be where I'm headed to. And also Northwest Washington. There is a capacity crunch going on in Northwest Washington. So that wraps up a quick little wrap-up review of the rates as far as the DAT newsletter is concerned and also the National Truckload USDA report. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest host tonight, which is Chad Boblett. He has started. He's an independent trucker. He has his own authority now going on 3.5 years. Chad also, make sure you give him a hats off, served 10 years in the military and the Marine Corps. And the main thing is Chad is actually the person that took the initiative to step out there and begin the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook group. This was kind of Chad. He stepped out there. He was forward thinking and got this thing started, kind of helped bring all of us together. So with no further ado, we definitely want to give Chad a big round of applause for that. And let's see if we can get Chad up here with me right now. Hello, Chad.
Hey, there we go. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I've got you, buddy.
All right. Thanks for that introduction, and thanks for having me on the podcast. And thank you for providing the podcast every week. It's really nice to be able to – one more show we get to listen to along with Kevin. I really like it.
No problem, buddy. You guys make the sacrifice. You wanted to do it. I think it's going to have a good payoff in the end. I think that more education that we get out there in the industry, the better it's going to be. It's going to reflect on everybody's bottom line by paying it forward. So it's my pleasure to do it. What you got for us tonight, buddy?
Absolutely. I'm going to hit on quoting ugly loads. I gave it that topic. It's a little funny to say it, but anyway, ugly loads, quoting on ugly loads. So the first thing we need to identify, what is an ugly load? An ugly load is a load that we normally wouldn't bid on. We wouldn't give the broker the time to discuss the load with us. We wouldn't even quote the load because it's got the most common reasons that people don't like, the things that make people not like the loads are, say, it's over 44,000, it's 44,000 pounds, it's a heavy load, or it's going to the Northeast, or it's from a broker that you don't like doing business with. The ugly loads. Say you just got home and you've been out for 2 weeks and you're not wanting to leave out, and you get a call from a broker and he offers you a load. That's an ugly load. That's a load that you're not interested in quoting. Now these loads that you're not quoting, those are ugly loads, and that you're not quoting. Everyone should be quoting every load, every offer that comes your way, no matter, especially the ugly ones, and I'm going to get that in a second. But why you should quote every load that you get called on, what happens when a broker calls you and offers you a load, you need to be able to provide him a quote, and the quicker the better. And what happens when you provide him that quote on that load, most brokers will write that quote down. He'll put your carrier profile information there, your phone number, and he's got your quote on that load. Now, this broker might have 15 to 20 loads he's working on that day, but out of that 15 to 20 loads, maybe 8 of those loads he has to move today. His customers, he's been working on these 8 loads for the past week maybe, and these loads have to move today. Well, that one load that you just quoted on, he now has made a little bit of progress on that one load, even though maybe your quote was outrageous and he made fun of you and said that there's no way he'll be able to do it, but he still wrote your quote in there. Now, these other 7 loads, he's going to try to make some progress on those. Later on in the day, at some point or another, that broker maybe has to talk to the shipper because that load has to go today. Whether he calls the shipper or the shipper calls him, they're going to have a conversation, and that quote that you gave is going to be brought up, and the shipper might say, well, do you have anybody that's going to take this load? And the broker's going to say, well, we have one quote. It's this one quote. I know it's high. I'm still working on your moving your load for a reasonable price. And but he's also got these other seven that he's got to work on, or whatever the number might be. He's got other customers he's got to work on as well. As it gets closer to the end of the day and the time starts crunching, and that's the only quote he has on that load, and that load is sitting on the dock and it has to go, guess who's going to get the phone call? And what once was he – what once he told you before that your quote was crazy, now he's calling you and saying, we're going to give it to you at that rate. And if it's a – and so, all right, I said I'll get to the ugly quote now, the ugly load, and quoting the ugly load. If it was an ugly load, there's a good chance that not only did you think it's ugly, but a whole lot of other people that he called and said that it was an ugly, that probably gave on an ugly load, probably gave him no quote at all. Probably said that the other carriers probably said they're not interested in it, or maybe they have a company driver in that truck and they can't put that company driver on a load that's got multiple stops on it. And you know, they probably did. They said that they couldn't do it, and that so you now are the only one on that ugly load that has a quote. There's a good chance that nobody else even put a quote on it. And you know, who's going to get the load there? You know, back to yourself. You get to make the big money. You quoted high and you got it high because you're the only one that gave a quote that said that you would do it. Those are the benefits. I'll give you a scenario of being home. Like some people will say, some people have made this statement before, even myself, that they got home, they get offered a load, and they'll make that statement. No matter how much money you give me, I'm not doing that load. I'm not doing it. I'm not moving my truck. I'm at home. I'm not leaving. And this happened to me once before, not too long ago, and the scenario happened where. Got home after being gone 2 or 3 weeks, been fighting the winter weather. It's been cold outside, having to change fuel filters, the wind. It was brutal for the past 2 weeks. I just got home, missed my family. I'm home. I'm not going back out for a while. I get a call from Coyote Logistics. Coyote Logistics, they know I like to run to the Northwest. That's my back in the winter, that's my favorite lane. I get good money going there and coming back. And Coyote Logistics, they found out that I was home. They called me and offered me a load. And when he offered it to me, I knew the broker, and I told him, I said, I just got home, and I'm not interested in leaving. He says, well, we got $4,000 on it. We'll give you this load going to Seattle. And I said, I'm not interested, man. You couldn't give me $8,000, and I wouldn't do it. And I just doubled the number and was sarcastic and said eight and threw out the number $8,000. So later on, I'll try to get this fast, but later on, so I started getting several phone calls, and I knew it was his number from Calgary. I was ignoring. I'm home. I didn't really want to be involved with trucking after I got home. And then it got to be real late, and the phone call started. It got to be around 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and I've done unwound. I'm relaxed, and I get a call, and it's from a different number. It wasn't the same number. Well, the Coyote broker tricked me. He used a different phone. And he called me, so I picked up the phone and answered it. And he said, we're going to give you the $8,000 if you run this load to Seattle for us. And I was like, unbelievable. Are you serious? You're going to give me – it was picked up in Florence going out to Seattle. I'm like, unbelievable. You're going to give me $8,000 to run this load. And, I booked the load. That situation has a little bit more – That's where it goes on. But anyway, the bottom line is, don't ever say, no matter what money that you give me, I'm not going to do your load, because sometimes those loads pay really good. Another ugly load, this last one, but this other ugly load, this was a pretty good one, where I quoted, and this wasn't here too long ago, and I even put it on the group page. You can go back and read it if you want, but there was another load. I was looking to go out, and it was a Thursday, and C.H. Robinson called. And they said, C.H. Robinson said, that we have a load that called me up and said, we have a load that's going to Delaware. Are you interested in this? Are you interested in the load? And I said, yeah, I'm interested. You got a load going to Delaware, leaving a good state, going to a bad state. And it's Thursday. It's going to offload on a Friday in a bad area. Yes, I'm interested. I'm interested because I know it's going to pay good. And I told him this. It's one of those things where for a punch in the gut at the same time puts him in that limbo phase. He doesn't know what to think, and that's where I want him. And so we continue to talk, and he goes to tell me more about the load. He tells me that the load has, I think, 3 or 4 stops in Delaware, and I'm like, just cha-ching, cha-ching is going on in the head, like this is going to be a really good load to quote. And as he's giving me this information, another key point I want to point out is how I write this information down. You might have your way of doing it, the way you write it down when you collect this information. This is a method that I use. And the reason why I use this, I do it the same way every time. I get myself in rhythm so I can jot this information down as quickly as possible. I use a spiral notebook, and on the left side of the page, I put all the pickup information. On the right side of the page, I put all the drop-off information, where the zip code of where it's dropping off, anybody's the contact information of someone I need to get a hold of, the time I need to be there, the date, and same thing verbatim on the left. In the center, I put all the regular details, the weight of the load, the broker, the broker's name, his phone number, all that. And I do that each time and every time like that, and I keep those notes in case I have to go back and call on one of those guys, that I talked to earlier that day. So anyway, I wrote that information down. I had all my zip codes there. I told the C.H. Robinson broker that give me 5 minutes and I'll call you back. I'll give you a quote on it. And another thing, giving these quotes all the time, these brokers get to know you, and they know that you give them quotes. I guess a lot of carriers don't give quotes don't like to give quotes on loads that they're not interested in. And I think I've built a reputation with a lot of – I know I have – with a lot of brokers, because you have a lot of the same ones that call me and want me to quote loads. And I told him I would call him back in 5 minutes, which was unusual for me, but this load had some homework for me to do. I wanted to map it out. I wanted to give him a reasonable quote, and I knew I could win this one because it's an ugly load, and I know – whoever he has called on this load, nobody's going to take this load. They would be crazy to take a three-stop, four-stop on Friday to Delaware, 711 miles to be done on a Friday in the Northeast. Because what are you, your big money maker is going to be for the weekend, and you want to be in a good spot. Well, Delaware's not going to be that great spot. And so I know nobody's giving him any quotes or putting any bids on this. So I run all the zip codes. The zip code of where my house is, the zip code of where I'm picking up the load, the zip codes, all the zip codes of where the load's dropping off. I add up all the miles.
Okay.
Now, when let me
jump in for just a second, Chad. Now, you said that you take all the zip codes. Now,
yes, sir.
How are you running the zip codes? Because what kind of mapping application are you using?
Good question. Now, and this is what I do. And people can make comments later and say that the way I do it's the wrong way, but this is the way I do it, and I'll explain the way I did it. I use zip codes because it's quicker to type in a zip code and find the location. And the application that I use is Google Maps. And why I use Google Maps, it's fast, and I like speed when I'm bidding on loads. All I got to do is go to Google Maps, put in the 5-digit zip code, and I got the zip code of where I'm picking up. I can punch in all those zip codes, and it'll give me I think Google Maps, maybe, because it's not really truck routing, but at the most, maybe it's 4% off, and sometimes it's very accurate. But for me, it's fast, and that's how I'll quote loads is off of Google Maps. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's good, because I use Google Maps as well. Now, let me ask you this part in your quotation process. Now, when you're quoting a load, do you have a high number and a bottom line number? Do you have
absolutely?
Do you give them any room to negotiate?
Yes, absolutely. Another good one. I was going to leave that out if you didn't say it, but yeah, that's a good key point. I always put, and what's funny, when I'm home, I'll tell my wife, and she cracks up because I'll show her the high number. And my wife says, they're going to hang the phone up on you. They're not going to pay attention to you. She's Japanese. She's an awesome person. But then I put that high number of what I'm going to tell the broker. And then I'll put the bottom number on there as well, of what I'm willing to come down to. And, yeah, good question. What do you think about that? Do you do the same thing?
Yeah, I do something very similar. I handle it very similar. So now, when you know that you are, when you're at home, you know that you can be very aggressive. So when you're
yes.
when you're on the road, when you're on the road, how do you handle that?
Well, when I'm at home, that's a good one. At home, I like talking about being at home because when I'm at home, I see what other people get when they're in. When I live in Lexington, Kentucky, and I see since we've started the group, I see the posts where people get to Kentucky, and I've got friends I talk to, and they get to Kentucky, and I see the rates that they get out of Kentucky. My best rate is leaving Kentucky. That is my best. There is no other state that pays me more money than when I leave home, and there's a reason why. Because when I'm home, that's an outbound state for me. I don't have to leave home. I'm at home. I'm on base. I don't have to leave. I like being home. Home is where my family is. You know, convince me that you're going to pay me enough money to leave home, and that's the way I go into the approach. That's the way I think about it. That's for home, and I thought maybe someone might like that. But when I'm out on the road. I have a 630 Volvo. I bought this before I knew Kevin. I wouldn't have bought it if it's a 2007. But it's not really that big, but it's like an office. You know, whenever I go to, I treat the process of dispatching myself and finding load, I treat it as if it was another job, as if it's just as important as the driving part. I pull out my laptop. I've got Wi-Fi. It's connected to the internet. I've got it laid out. I've got my notebook out. I've got my pens and papers. I've got my GPSs up and running, so I can look at stuff on there. And out here, as long as I get the most important thing for me of the morning, as long as I get up, and I'm able to get a shower, and then I'm able to go to my second job. My second job is dispatching myself, and I get everything set up and ready, and close the curtains. Nobody bothers me, and I enjoy it. I enjoy dispatching myself, and I'll check where the demand is, and I color code it. Green states are states that are in demand. Yellow states are about average. The red states are want to stay away from those, but we can quote those states because those states nobody else is going to want to go to. So I'll quote those red states, but I'm going to quote high, and sometimes I get them.
Okay. All right, Chad. Well. We want to try to get it to a few calls tonight. We want to try to see if we can ask some questions.
Rico, I want to finish up that one last little part. Okay, so I ran all the on the map part. I got all the zip codes in there, and my last zip code is that last stop in Delaware, and when I ran all the miles and that last stop was in Delaware. I know, and this is something you can follow the same principle when you do your load bidding, when you bid on loads. That last stop in Delaware, I'm looking at it at where I'm going to be at on Friday, probably in the afternoon sometime, and I'm looking at the worst-case scenario. Where do I have to go from here to get at least a decent load out of? And so at that point, the only place that could come to mind when I was looking at it in detail was Richmond, Virginia. And that was over 200 miles from that place in Delaware to over to Richmond, Virginia. I added those miles into that load that I was going to do. And then for me to drive the Northeast, I want to make more than just the $2 a mile. And I think I bid it on all the miles, somewhere between $3 and $3.75 per mile. And I added the stops, and I think the stops came to $3.50 or $4.50. And I put all that in there. And my high offer was going to come in at $43.40, I believe. And I called him back. I called him back in less than 5 minutes, and I said, here's my offer, $43.40. Take it or leave it. And I didn't say that part, but I said, here's my offer on the load. And he says, okay, let me call the customer and find out if they'll accept it. He called the customer, he called me back, and he says, it's your load for $43.40. And then when he said it that quickly, I knew instantly I did not bid high enough. He would have gave me more. He didn't even try to counter me, Rico. And which was, you know, even though I made $4,340 on 711 miles and plus the stops, and that's just killer money. I mean, it's really good money. Anybody would love to make that kind of money on a run. But he didn't counter me, and I'm like, man, I can't believe I left money on the table at that high of a bid. So it's like, quote the ugly loads. And don't be shy to quote high, because, you know, some of these loads have to get moved, and, you know, be the person that gets it. You'll reward yourself, you know, at the end when you do complete it. And, you know, think about the worst-case scenario. I thought about the worst-case. I thought I was going to have to bounce all the way to Richmond. I wouldn't get none over the weekend. I was willing to deal with that. But actually, I bid it on another ugly load that took me – I won't talk about that one, but it took me up to – I had three stops, and it took me up into Pennsylvania over the weekend, and that was another $1,000. But maybe more than that. But anyway, yeah, let's get to some calls. If you want to, Rico, or if you want to add to that.
Yeah. Well, I want to just put a couple things in there real quickly, and we're going to get to some calls. Just want to kind of summarize really quickly. So the main thing that everybody needs to get is when you're talking with brokers or shippers, whoever, you want to make sure that you get as much detailed information as you possibly can about the load, especially if you're dealing with a broker. You want to find out, is there an appointment time for this load to pick up? Because with refrigerated freight, especially, I can speak to this, a lot of times there are some appointments set, and if you miss the appointment, there are late fees, $100, $200, $300 late fees at some of these places to ship for refrigerated goods. So if you're getting close or you're near the time for the appointment time, then bump your rate, because the broker is in desperation mode at this point in time to try to recover this load. Because he would rather pay you the money, especially if you can guarantee that you can get there before he actually has to pay a late fee. Well, that's more money that you're going to be able to put to your bottom line. The other thing that I want to bring out, kind of piggybacking on what you were talking about, Chad, is what kind of value do you bring to, you know, the value that you bring back to the customer as far as if it's a broker or whatever. If you're the only one that's quoting the load, like you say, a lot of people will just say they'll hear the description or hear what it is. And I used to be bad about this with fresh chicken. I told my wife, you know, we got to stop telling them, oh, we're just not interested. Give them a price. By all means, give them a price. You know, it can be as astronomical and as insane as you think it may be, but at least throw it out there. The arrow that's not shot will never hit anything. If you don't aim at something, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. That's the old Zig Ziglar quote.
yeah.
So with that said, we got a few calls on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and jump into some calls. Let's see here. We got someone calling in from area code 207. Caller from the 207. It's your turn. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, Rico. My name's Travis, and I'm actually in Connecticut.
Cool, Travis. What you got?
Well, I actually, Chad says, I have my own authority, and I pull flatbed. So I usually, like he does, I play with the rate. And I actually live in the Northeast, so I pretty much get anywhere from $4,000 to almost $5,000 just to go up to the Northeast. And I just picked up, I've got a load on right now that's paying me $4,700 going from Minnesota to Massachusetts, then to Maine.
Right.
Is it just a flatbed, or is it a step deck, or just a flatbed?
I have two. I have a flatbed and I have a drop deck, so I can do oversize.
Going back to the thing that Charles we talked about last week. I mean, not Charles. Excuse me, George. George was talking about last week. Trying to make sure that you have multiple modes of transportation. George was talking about that last week on the podcast about different types of trailers. So that's being flexible.
And I actually have one of your favorite areas, Rico. I also have a refrigerated trailer.
All right.
Sitting at home. I looked at a variety of trailers, and I look at what's hopping. And what's hopping is what I'm going to pull.
There you go.
And I, like I said, I use that DAT. I actually have a lady from Landstar that will call me. And her... lowest offer for me is $2.75 a mile.
On what lane?
And that's usually on the lane coming from Oklahoma, from the Midwest, up to the Northeast, like to Massachusetts.
I got a question. How does it affect your insurance having multiple trailers like that?
I only have to have when I have if I haul my oversized trailer, my drop deck, then I call my insurance and they'll add whatever how much ever insurance I need for the trailer. But like my flatbed and my I carry the maximum. I carry $1 million on the insurance, so that it'll cover if I'm hauling the flatbed or the refrigerator. And then sometimes I'll actually have to raise my the insurance rate if I'm hauling something oversized.
I can speak to that a little bit too, Chad. Normally, my experience when I had two trailers, I used to have a drop box along with my reefer. They just charged me a real minimum rate on my drop box. And they charged it as a spare trailer, so you didn't get hit with like the full value. And you could just swap them interchange, and it really wouldn't affect your rate all that much. It really didn't affect my insurance rate a tremendous amount. I didn't notice it very much at all.
Yeah, the only one that does for me is the drop deck for when I have oversized, depending on what it is. Sometimes I have to have a $2 million liability from point A to point B.
Right. Well, Travis, did you have any questions or you just wanted to share a comment with us tonight?
Well, I wanted to share that, and I wanted to also thank you, Rico, for telling me about the, mailing out to shippers in my area. So,
yes, sir.
You said, mail it like three times.
Yes, sir.
Well, that worked for me up in Maine. I have two accounts now. I have an account in Canada and an account in Maine, pulling lumber.
Travis, thanks so much for the feedback, Travis. So that helps give us validation that some of these tactics that we're using, we're getting some traction on. I really appreciate the feedback on that.
It works awesome. And right now I'm hoping. Last year's bottom line, I actually pulled in $126,000 last year. So I'm hoping to pull in a little more this year.
Travis, sounds like you got a great operation going on. You coming to the CMC this year?
I won't be able to make it this year. I'm hoping to do it next year. I'm going to try to get to the Great American Truck Show in Dallas.
Okay,
but to get to the one in Louisville, but that didn't work.
I understand. Well, we look forward. Thanks again for the call tonight, Travis. We appreciate it. We're going to try to get a squeeze in on a few more calls tonight. We got someone calling in from the 402 area code. Caller from the 402. What's your name? What's you're calling from? Where are you calling from? And what's your question tonight?
Hi, my name is Joe. I am in Belvedere, Illinois, sitting on a load, getting ready to go to Utah and Wyoming, two-stopper. Sitting here listening to you and Chad, my brain is about to explode.
Nope, that's in a good way.
Well, yeah, in a good way, but for a new guy in the business, I'm working as a lease purchase with one of the big box trucks, looking to take the next step to go with maybe Landstar or something like that with either reefer or dry van. Where in the world do I start learning about all the stuff you guys are talking about? Chad, you mentioned something about a map that had the good states, bad states kind of areas, and then, of course, just learning the lanes and the rates to get something started. How do I go about learning all this stuff?
There's a few different places you can go for this. Rico can explain one of them a little bit better than I can, but the load densities on and I have access to Internet Truck Stop. It's a load board. There's only two load boards that I use, and that's DAT, which is I use the cheaper version, which is called Member's Edge, and I use Internet Truck Stop. And the only reason why I use Internet Truck Stop is because I like its tool that it provides for low densities. It's got some other things on there that talks about low densities and things like that, but low densities is just the only section I use. It just gives me a percentage number of posted trucks or no posted loads going to one area and the number of posted loads leaving that area. And of course the if the state has more posted loads leaving the state than there are posted loads going to the state, then that's a state where when you get there, there's going to be more freight than there are trucks, and that's always a bonus for us. The percent is higher that we're going to be able to name our rate, and that's what I work on most of the time is where's the demand, and I don't go off of what's the contract rate. There's other the AT, and that's the one, Rico. You can talk about it. What's the contracted rate and the what's that one? I forgot the name of it. DAT provides. Provides you, it tells you what the shippers are normally paying for that lane. You don't talk
on
about?
Right, it's called rate view. On the DAT, DAT will give you two different rates. They'll give you a contract rate, which is most of the stuff that they quote for, they'll kind of like just give that one away. Now, the spot market rate, which is what you're going to be dealing with when you're dealing with brokers, is a different module. They don't necessarily give that rate out. For free. You have to pay to get the spot market quote rate. And I have that as a feature of one of my load boards. The spot market rate, the things that it goes into on the spot market, it takes into consideration the load-to-truck ratio, just like Chad was talking about, all those different variables. And you want to take into consideration also, even though they give you a number, they give you a high and a low and a median cost, on the rate view tool that they have, but you still want to take into consideration if you're in a market where the load-to-truck ratio is just absolutely bonkers. If you can see on the load-to-truck ratio, if it's like 20-1 or 18-1, I've even seen it as much as 300-1, 300 loads to one truck in the area.
Ooh.
You want to take that into consideration and make sure that you charge accordingly. Now, the only bad thing and the only downside about that, and that's why us doing this and hopefully more and more people, the word gets out. If you're on Facebook, you say, how do you learn about this stuff? Let's try to box this up real quick. If you're on Facebook, participate in the Rate Per Mile Masters group. That's the only place that I know of before it started as someone that didn't have authority or nothing like that you could actually go to and really get a candid discussion about lanes and rates other than when you're sitting at a shipper somewhere or you're sitting at the lunch counter and you're hearing the super truckers talk about what they got on this rate and that rate. And there's really not, you know, you can tell when somebody's blowing sunshine up your backside, if you know what I mean. if you don't have authority and you don't have the ability to go and get these tools, I try to post as much information as I possibly can on the Rate Per Mile Masters group, and also just become a voracious reader of all the industry news. You know, go to like the Overdrive. Go to seek out the industry information and try to read that so that you can kind of get a pulse as to what's going on and try to get a feel out. Now, you know, some things, because we're in the industry and we're a little bit closer to it, and we may have a different of opinion than what the reporter is actually reporting what's going on. Like with some people have their own opinions about the driver shortages and the capacity crunches and so on and so forth. I'm not going to try to debate that issue tonight on this podcast about that or not, but you know, just try to take as much information as you can get your hands on to take into consideration everything when it comes to formulating your rates and stuff like that. That's the best way. There's really not a perfect answer to say, well, this is what you should do and that's what you should do. just try to be, he who has the most information is going to always win. So
okay.
Just always try to avail yourself to as much information as possible. Good information.
I'm like a sponge, and I'm a voracious reader. I'm like Kevin. I probably got 15 books sitting on my counter right now inside the truck with bookmarks in each one of them. Going back to Chad's example on the load ratios for just a second, if you could. Let's say I'm going or I'm looking at a rate that says, okay, I'm going to Atlanta. And on my way to Atlanta, there's 100 loads going to Atlanta. Coming out of Atlanta, there's only, let's say, 10 loads. Is that a good area, bad area to go into, to get into?
That'd be bad.
What area are you looking at?
You want to go?
I'm going to say it depends because when you're dealing in the spot market, and more and more of my advice is telling us that are independent, that have our own authority and stuff like that, is to try to get your own customers. Right now is the perfect time to go approach and solicit your own customers. So there are loads, even though the load boards and the information on there is pretty good and it's accurate, I feel like I trust the information that I have on my load boards. And I feel comfortable with it. But there are loads that never see the light of day on any load board. There are brokers that don't post anything on load board. So if you have a relationship with a broker or a shipper in a specific area, it may be a bad area. Just like a lot of people hate Florida. Well, people go to Florida all the time. Why is it that even when photo season is not in effect, why do people want to go to Florida? Well, obviously, there has to be something that's in Florida that comes out of there year-round. There is freight there in Florida. And, you know, how do you cultivate those relationships? How do you develop those things? So not trying to avoid your question, but it's just trying to break it down and give you all different angles to look at it. It really depends on what your specific situation is. Now, if you're just a guy and if you're strictly running off of the load board and you're dependent on the load board, then you might want to avoid a desolate area like that because you're going to catch hell getting out of there. Or if you're close enough, sometimes I'm trying to think of a good example. Let's take Houston, for example. Okay, Houston may be a bad area year-round. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but for the most part, Houston is a really tough market. You get beat up really
bad. But when you say Houston is bad, getting loads out of Houston or getting into?
You can get into Houston all day long. Out seems to be, has been my experience, Houston has been really difficult to get out of at a really, really good rate. I can get out of there, but not at the rate that I really want to get.
Okay, I got you. All right, I got a picture.
That comes into – so when you're in markets like that, you have to do what one of my old mentors told me. He said, son, sometimes you got to take your backhaul with you. So you make sure you charge enough on the front end so that you can offset what you're going to come out there with on the back end.
Right, I understand that. Okay.
And even that sometimes is not an exact science, and that's a little difficult. But sometimes Houston can benefit. You can benefit in Houston sometimes if the surrounding markets are really booming. So, like, sometimes you may have San Antonio might be really peaking at a moment, and it might you'll start to get phone calls from San Antonio. Hey, we got freight over here that's got to move. We'll pay you the dead end to come from Houston to go to San Antonio. So sometimes you want to take into consideration if you're going into a bad market, how close is it to sometimes what could be a good market. I've even gotten calls sometimes when I've been in Houston when the produce is really jumping at the Rio Grande to deadhead all the way from Houston down to the Rio Grande, which is something like almost 400 miles. But if there's not if there are not trucks around, just like Chad, we were talking about quoting ugly loads, it's the topic. Put your price out there. If you don't,
right.
You say, that's too much deadhead. You know, don't disqualify anything. Let them disqualify it. If you disqualify it for them, you're doing half of their job. Let them do their job. You do your job, let them do their job.
Yes, I hear you.
You had something you want to add to that, Chad? I didn't
want to. No, that was some good stuff. You pretty much summed it up what I was thinking. I was going to say the same thing. I've had scenarios where I've been in Oklahoma City and Dallas we were doing really good, and I'll post myself in Dallas, but I'm actually in Oklahoma City and make enough money off of a load coming out of Dallas. There's times of the year right now, it's getting ready to go into that time of the year where Dallas is really good. And give it another 3 weeks, and Dallas will have really good numbers. But and that was about this time last year, and I did a scenario like that where I was in Oklahoma City, and it was dead Oklahoma City, but I posted the truck in Dallas where I knew it was booming, where there was just crazy money coming out of there. And I put in the comment section, late shipper, and all they asked me is what time I can get there, and I added up the deadhead miles, and I told them this is what time I'll be offloaded, you know, and which is really what I'm saying is, what I mean by that is it's going to take me that long to drive all the way from Oklahoma City to Dallas to pick up your load. But I added all those miles in, you know, and I made sure that I was going to be at the rate that I wanted to be at. And a style of my bidding on loads is a little different, like, than what someone would go to a shipper and put a rate with a shipper, that someone that they want to get as a customer or a dedicated load where they get it all the time. Where those type of loads, you want precise numbers. You don't want a whole lot of negotiating, a whole lot of bidding. You want to give that shipper, that dedicated run that you're trying to bid on, a number that you could live with and that you'd be comfortable with doing. My style, the way I run, and this is just the way I run, this is what I like. I like the negotiating process. I like bidding on loads. I enjoy it. By the end of the day, I have a lot of fun. I can't wait till tomorrow when I get to bid on some loads tomorrow. My style is like if you went to a car auction, you bid on cars being sold. My feeling of what I think what the price of the load should go for, what I can get it for. I'm self-taught. That's how I've taught myself. And you would think that if you throw out huge numbers that you would disrespect these brokers and that they will never call you back. It's the least from the truth. Because you give these quotes, and even though they're high, they'll call you, and those loads that never hit the load board, I provide a good service. My prices are a little high, but I got a lot of stars by my name that I keep the broker up to date. I provide a good. They're paying me. You know, these brokers pay me good money. I want them to. I want to use their service. I want them to continue to call me, so I provide a good service, and I'm able to quote them the loads that don't hit the load board. But that's all I had. Go ahead, Rico.
Yes, sir. Now, if you want to try to get through some more calls, we got a few of them lined up here. Caller from the 912. It's your turn. What's your name? Where you calling from? What's your question?
Hey, Rico. It's Richard. I'm in Alabama, headed up to Kentucky. I got a question on authority. If you can't answer it, that's fine. Just let me know, and I'll get back in the background and let you answer somebody else's question. But I'm thinking about getting my own authority. I'm wanting to. But somebody had told me that if a person goes out and gets their own authority and is new at it, that it's not gonna look good on you on a broker. But he said the way that he done his was that he got his authority first, and then ran with a company for a year, and then he went in and started doing his load. I don't know if that's so or not. But how would someone go about getting their own authority to be able to go out and start getting loads without looking like, well, he's a new guy, we're not going to get him?
Okay, I can tell you, I can tell you from firsthand experience. I heard similar things about, well, if you got, and I even see it some right now in the group. And there are some brokers that do have requirements that you have to have your authority active for at least 6 months or so on and so forth. There are those, but trust me, there are more than enough. When I first got my load board up and running, and when I got everything done with my authority, I had my tags and everything put on the truck, and I was ready to take my first load, I didn't know how this thing was going to go, and I posted my truck just trying to test my load board. It was on the weekend. I was just trying to test my load board. I was just trying to see how it worked, and my phone began to ring, and I didn't know. I was scared as hell. I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle it, and I got a load that was actually a local move. My very first load was a local move. R.R. Dunley needed a shipment moved from their printing facility, which at the time I was staying in Greenville, South Carolina, from Spartanburg, South Carolina, down to the Greenville News. I remember it just like yesterday. And I got my very first load. It was a pickup on it had to be out of R.R. Dunley stock that Saturday for Monday morning delivery. And I got $800 and didn't have to go over 32 miles.
Wow.
My very first load. I was like, man, you know, but no, don't. There are going to have a few brokers, and they'll be able to tell by your MC number. But if you're running and you're in a hot market, trust me, you're not going to have a problem. The number one thing that you're going to have to be aware of as a new entrant is getting up to speed on rates and lanes, which you're doing that by participating and getting involved. That's the number one thing, because what they're going to do is they're going to seek, they seek out the new people, the brokers do, because they understand that you are a little, they understand that you are a little green, and they make the most profit off of you because they'll throw stuff at you. One thing that I don't do, Chad may do it, but I don't do it. My wife helps me out. She helps me out tremendously, and she does the majority of our negotiating because I'm driving a lot. Now, she'll call me and get my input and stuff like that on different things when she's not 100% comfortable about something, or she wants to just see how I felt about what it is that she's dealing with. But for the most part, she handles it. I don't like to negotiate while I'm driving. I don't want to because they say you can do two things. You know, you can't walk and chew gum at the same time and all that stuff, but you'll miss the minute details. Earlier I talked about gathering information, and if I'm trying to concentrate on being safe and driving and out here in this traffic, I can't really adequately negotiate and get the information that I need, because I may miss something in the flow of the conversation that might be an important detail that I don't factor in. And then I have no way to really sit down and really look at my numbers appropriately. So I don't negotiate and drive at the same time. That's just me. That's just my method. I don't do it.
I want to add to that. I don't either. I played around with that when I first started doing that, but that's an absolute no way. I don't do it. One, the number one rule: treat your dispatching as if it's a second job. And if you're dispatching while you're driving, you're not treating it as a second job. You're not taking your dispatching serious. You're not able to effectively know to negotiate. Remember what I said: it's borrow a notebook, write this on the left and right. And then the final thing is safety. Safety. It's a huge safety hazard, driving and trying to negotiate. I mean, you're not paying attention, you're driving. Go ahead, Rico.
Right.
No, that's exactly right. But the only thing you got to watch out for, being new, is just being careful about, don't let the brokers try to beat you up on the rates, because they're going to try it, because they like, well, this guy's new, he doesn't know anything, so we're going to abuse him. Because I tell you what, when I first started out, TQL, me and Chad was having a conversation about him earlier. But man, TQL wore me out probably the first 3 months I had my authority. I mean, they wore me out. They rolled me hard and put me up wet, treating me like an old government rented mule, man. But I, you know, you got to take your knocks. You got to take your licks, you know. And so all of that was a learning curve. So the things that you're doing right now by shortening that learning curve, getting the education, you know, asking questions, you know, talking with more people, getting them on the Facebook group, you're helping yourself shorten that learning curve. So you'll be successful, and, you know, I don't have any doubt about it, because you're doing all the right steps right now. So don't worry about getting your authority, being new or whatever. Just the main thing is, once you get your authority, they are going to be looking for you at the scale houses. If you you know, you come through, if they're looking at DOT numbers or whatever, they may be looking for you. They're going to, you know, just make sure you got your paperwork in order, your maintenance and everything is up to par on your equipment, and you won't have any problem. And even that, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand. I've been in scale houses and guys coming there with the little funky attitudes and stuff like that. I don't think we have that element in our group. But, you know, for whatever reason, you know, but if you go in there and you treat people with the same amount of respect that you want and deserve, I think you'll be all right. You keep your nose clean, you keep your safety record intact, and within no 6 months and 18 months to go by like that, I mean, it seemed like I was getting a phone call to go through my new entrant training, and my new entrant audit was actually a breeze due to me going through the NASTIC course. The NASTIC course, if you're going to go get your own authority, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend NASTIC products because they're going to prepare you. They're going to have everything done for you. My auditor, when he done my exam, he was like, you know, wow, how did you get all this stuff? Because you have everything. You have all your I's dotted, all your T's crossed. There was nothing, anything that he asked me for, I could produce it. And that was because I was prepared, went through the NASTIC training, and had all my stuff together. So don't believe the hype, I guess, in short.
All right. All right, I appreciate it.
All right, so thank you, sir. Now, Chad, before I go to another question, somebody sent me a Facebook question. And I want to get to this one real quick before we go to another call real quick. It says, I was wondering if you and Chad could talk a little bit about quoting LTL. I'm not sure how I should quote them. I have a straight truck. Also, by the way, I'm having trouble figuring out the best way to quote loads with this truck. The best way to quote, I'm going to take a stab at as far as quoting your load, is to figure out what your cost of operation is. I mean, your cost of operation and everything is really should be your way of figuring out your bottom line quote figure for making sure that you're being profitable on your load. So you want to make sure that you got all your cost of operations together. You know, there was a little bit of discussion going on the Facebook group right now, or a little earlier, talking about cost per mile and things of that nature. Just make sure that you – this question comes from Jake. So just make sure that you're quoting based on your cost of operation. If you got any more questions about cost of operations, I can send you over a little link that I use to help me figure out my cost of operation that I got off of OIDA's website. I liked it. Somebody else didn't like it so much, but, you know, I liked it. And as far as quoting LTL, the method that I use, I'm going to break it down from a 53-foot standpoint. And somebody else may have something different. But that's and if you do, let's share these ideas and let's get them out there. I like to think of when you're looking at a 53-foot trailer, I try to quarter the trailer. I try to break it up into quarters. That's the way that I try to do it based on feet. So I try to divide it by four and how much would I charge for a truckload, and I try to divide it up by four, and I try to figure out the best way that, you know, there's a couple other different methods that are used. I'm probably not doing the best job of explaining it right now, but I try to divide it into four, whatever the rate that is in that lane, then I want to try to get, you know, based upon that, if that makes any sense. I hope that comes out the way I want it to. Chad, what's your thoughts?
LTL, most of my loads are I don't mess with LTL that much. I've been told that there's a lot of good money to be made in it. I encourage anybody to practice and play with the LTL market, bid on some of the loads. I know there's a couple of members in the group that does a lot of the LTL. I mean, that's all they do is the LTL. He mentioned
right.
Straight truck. Another person mentioned straight truck. Straight truck, I would go to the group, Ray from Mile Masters, and ask the same question you just asked us, and you should get some feedback there. Well, I'm doing some talking with trying to provide some counseling or assistance with a guy that's got a flatbed, and he drives an F-350. He does a hot shot, and he called me asking for advice, and his rates were really good, and I'm like, I don't know what advice to give you, but in that short I really didn't know what kind of advice to give this type of person, because I don't know, flatbed or, especially if you're fooling around with an F-350, but in the short conversation, I'm asking him how's he posting his truck and different stuff. Well, I found out that he wasn't even posting it, and he replied back to me in a couple weeks, and his rate has jumped up I think he jumped up a whole entire dollar, but anyway, go to that group page and put on there that that's what you're doing. And I bet out of, we just hit 1,000 members. Out of that 1,000 members, there's going to be someone doing the same thing as you. And if you all two get together and start talking about what each other's doing, there you go. I mean, that there's some assistance right there. And maybe there's some other people that's going to give you some advice, too, on that.
All right. Well, we got time maybe to try to squeeze one more call in, Chad. We got a caller calling in from the 662. Caller from the 662. What's your name? Where you calling from? Okay. Caller's not there. We're going to try to jump. Let's see. I'm going to try to jump and squeeze one more in before we go, Chad.
All right.
We got a caller from 785. Caller from the 785. What's your name? What you calling?
Hi, Rico? Chad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Chad. This is Karen.
Karen.
Hey. I really don't have that much of a question. I just wanted to thank you both for all the help that you guys have given us. Okay. Rico, you've helped me look into Grain Hopper, you know, where to find better rates for the Grain Hoppers.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And still scared to death about ever doing it on our own, okay?
No.
But I run it now like, you know, it is our own business, even though we're company.
Right.
And believe me, I go with our broker and... You know, he's usually pretty good to us, but I have turned down loads because they haven't paid well. And I do look at the lanes, and that's where I ask to go. So thank you guys for all your help. It has been so good.
No, thank you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate the feedback.
And you guys be safe out there.
Thanks.
That will do.
Thanks.
Well, Chad, wow. Believe it or not, buddy, we blew straight through that hour.
That was an hour? Man, we ought to do three. That was fun. I can't believe that was just an hour. We didn't get to talk to everybody. I want everybody, the 1,000 people that's in the group, I want every one of them to call, and we talked to every single one of them, try to help them all out. That was fun.
Well, hopefully, eventually, we can get a chance to do that. But tonight, unfortunately. Well, I like to thank everyone for calling in and their participation. If it wasn't for you, there would be no us. We'd also like to extend on behalf of the Less Truck team all of our heartfelt thanks. Once again, we couldn't do it without it's an entire team effort, and we appreciate everyone taking time out of their busy schedules just to spend a little bit of time with us. Hopefully you got something from it. We can continue the conversation over on Facebook, on the Facebook page, Rate Per Mile Masters. If you have any questions or anything else like that in the meantime, you know, that's the place to go. Right now, we got to get out of here. We're over time right now as it is, so we got to get out of here. So in the words of Kevin Rutherford, be safe, be profitable, and master the journey. Good night, everyone.